Psalm 53, I'm going to read the entire psalm. Fortunately, there's only six verses. Psalm 53. It is truly a blessing to be in church with you all tonight. Praise the Lord. And I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for this place and this time. I'm grateful for our God. Amen. Psalm number 53. Psalm 53. The Bible says this, beginning in verse number 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this evening. Thank you for this blessed time that we've had together in fellowship and singing your praises. And God, we just want to worship you this evening. We want to just thank you for all that you have done for us. God, we look forward to the rest of this service. Now, I pray, God, that you'd help us as we take a few moments here and look at the Word of God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd move in each heart this evening and draw us closer to you, God. And if there's something that we need to take notice of in our own hearts and lives, God, please make that plain to us. And Lord, we are grateful again for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few things here I want to pull out of this this psalm. And by the way, if you weren't aware, Psalm 14 is almost word for word the same thing. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. There are a few subtle differences. The last couple of verses are a little different, but primarily the same psalm or the same song that we have written here. I don't know why, but there's a purpose for it. I've heard some preaching on it before. I don't have those notes with me, but something was brought out that I remember was very important about it. But I don't have those in front of me. But why God did that, I don't know. But God does not do anything without reason. God does not do anything without a purpose. And so there's things that we do not understand, but it doesn't mean that it's not important. And so this. If you read the title to this psalm, it says, to the chief musician upon Mahalath. And that simply means Mahalath is basically the temple choir, is how that would be translated, the temple choir. And then it says Maskil, and that is instruction. So this is a song of instruction that the temple choir would sing when they came together. And so this is a song that would be sung, and I want to see, first of all, we see in the first verse or two, it talks about man's sinfulness. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, that is indeed foolish for anyone to say that there is no God. And I know that there are a lot of popular beliefs, a lot of humanism, a lot of things going on. Science, falsely so-called, and they completely leave God out of every equation. They come up with their hypothesis and all of that, and they make their data match their preconceived hypothesis, preconceived ideas, match what they already believe. But anyone who says there is no God is a fool. And beyond that, they're corrupt. And so we see man's sinfulness, then we see within that, we see that man is depraved. We see his depravity. His concept is wrong. They say there is no God. That we all came about because there was a big bang one day, and we all just kind of came up out of this primordial ooze. And then one day we we looked down, we had flippers, and you know, the next day we turned around, we had a tail, and oh my, you know, what are these things growing over here? Well, with their legs, and you know, people believe that junk. And a lot of people who claim to be Christians believe that. And so I don't understand that, but the Bible says that because man believes there is no God, then they become corrupt. And we read that in Romans chapter 1. Paul writes about that. Man become unthankful and they change the things of God and change good to evil and evil to good and all those things. And then man becomes a fool thinking he's wise. And so we have a lot of learning today, right? We have a lot of learning going on. And still, very little wisdom, very little godliness, very little righteousness. So we see man's sinfulness and man's depravity here. Their concept is wrong. Their conduct is wrong. The Bible says here, there is none that doeth good. Their conduct is wrong. Their character is wrong. They're abominable. Those who do not trust, believe in God, and believe that they believe there is no God, they are foolish, they are depraved, they are sinful, and they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not unreachable by God. They're not unreachable, but there's only one thing they need, and they need the gospel. So we see man's sinfulness here, first of all. So we see man's depravity. Then we see man's doubt. He says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. And really the answer to that is no. There's none to seek God. They're all become unprofitable. They're all filthy. There's none that doeth good. So we see man's depravity. Then we see man's doubt. They weren't looking for God. They thought they could do things their own way. That's the way sinful man is. Then we even see man's dirt here when we're talking about their sinfulness. Every one of them, verse 3, has gone back and they are all together become filthy. Become filthy. Filthy-minded, filthy-mouthed. You know, I've worked in places and been around people who just filthy. Not maybe even physically, but their minds and their mouths and their activities are just dirty, filthy. And that comes from a lack of the knowledge of God and a lack of an understanding of who they are and who their Creator is. And then we see man's desperation in verse number 4. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. You know, I know because I was a sinner. I was lost. I was on my way to hell in my sin, dead in my trespasses and sins. I now know that I was depraved. I now know that I was dirty. I know now that I was I became desperate, knowing that I needed something. That's what happens when we come under the Holy Spirit conviction. We know that we need something. And if that conviction works and we allow God to do that work, we know that we need something and we're desperate to find it. The day that I got saved, I would have done anything to get an answer to my need. And I did. I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead of doing that, most people will reject Christ and they'll just lash out. And who was I talking to? I guess maybe Brother John and I were talking the other day, talking about, you know, people will say, well, you know, I don't need religion. Religion is just a crutch. Well, thank God, I need a crutch every day. You know, give me a couple of them. You know, so, but man gets desperate, yet they won't seek the one thing that they need most times. You know, the Bible says that few there be that find it at the end of the day. The way to the Lord Jesus Christ is narrow. There's only one way to be saved, and most will not find it. That's a shame. But most will not find it. Most will not be saved. Few there be that find it. Now, everyone can. We know that. But few, in the grand scheme of things, few will find it. And that's a shame. But we still have a job to do. So we see man's sinfulness, and then quickly we see man's struggle. There were they in great fear where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. You know, God is on our side. And when we have enemies about us, God will work for us. God will, He will bring division. He will bring confusion. You know, God did that in the Bible to God's people, the enemies of God's people. He confused the enemy. So we see man struggle without God. They become in great fear where no fear was. And so I think we have a society nowadays of people who are in bad shape, needing one very great thing, the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. But they're going every other direction. And so we see man's fear, men's fear. Then we see men's fury. We see that they eat up my people as we go back to number four. They get angry and they lash out. And then we see man's flight. God scatters them and he will stand up for his people and stand up for his beloved. I thank the Lord for that. And then we see, lastly, man's salvation. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. Well, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that God has a plan yet for Israel. We know all the great things that God has done for Israel over the generations. And over the last several decades, God has sustained Israel as a nation. That little bitty country over there, that little bitty place that everybody hates and that everybody wants to bomb off the face of the earth, God has sustained them. Why? Because he's made promises to them that he will bring them. He will regather them one day, and he will do that. And I believe all that is in the works. And I believe that all of that is taking place and coming together. And God one day will do that. And the Bible says here, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. There's coming a day when once again Israel will rejoice. Once again, Israel will be glad. They'll be redeemed from captivity. They'll be redeemed from their confusion that they're now in. And then they will find themselves rejoicing. Man in general says there is no God. But one day, God will make everything that seems so chaotic and so unclear right now, God's going to bring it all together. And he's going to say, this is what I've been doing all along. And I've been here, and this is what I've been doing. And those of us that are saved will rejoice. Israel is going to rejoice in their own salvation, in their own redemption. And we'll get to see a lot of that take place. Praise the Lord for that. We'll get to see a lot of that. We'll be involved in some of those things and be able to watch that. And Brother Tom has talked about that before. When after this, things begin to take place. You've got the tribulation time and then that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ when Satan will be bound during that time. Christ will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. The Bible says we'll rule and reign with him. And things will take place and go on. And what a blessing that's going to be. And we'll see God doing things with Israel and all those things. And then, of course, that great battle. And then all things will be made new. And that heavenly city, New Jerusalem, will come down. And there we go, forevermore, rejoicing. And like Brother Tom was saying earlier, there our loved ones are rejoicing and enjoying things right now. And they long for us to be there. And we long to be there. And one day it's all going to take place. And I was talking to a dear brother yesterday evening. He's a neighbor and he's been a good friend for many years. I do some work for him every now and then. And we were talking last night and we were just thinking about those same things. You know, what a joy it's going to be and the life that we're in and how it's a struggle sometimes. But boy, one day we'll look back and we'll be able to say, you know, that wasn't so bad after all. Now looking at the glory that's ahead of us, it's struggle now. But one day God will make things new. And I praise the Lord for that he's going to do that. Amen. All right. That's all I have for this evening. I'd like to close in prayer and then we'll dismiss and get together in our groups. All right. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Thank you for the time that we've had. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the ladies as they gather together and bring prayer requests and pray together, and then also the fellas as we get together. Lord, I just pray that there'd be a oneness of mind and heart and spirit as we come together to bring requests and pray. And Lord, we again are so grateful for all that you do for us and for this time we have this evening to come together in your house with your people. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.